Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from a hotel room in New York City on Sunday, October 23rd, 2011. My guest is Nikki Glaser, who you might know from the Doug Loves Movies. Was it? Yeah, Doug Loves Movies Boner Ep that we did in Philly with Preston, Steve, and Graham Elwood. Or you might know her from her free podcast. How often do you do it?
Yes, weekly.
Weekly free podcast called You Had to Be There, co-hosted by Sarah Schaefer.
Yes.
Who I don't think I've ever even met.
Super funny.
Super funny Sarah Schaefer.
Yes.
SFSS.
What?
Super funny Sarah Schaefer.
Oh yeah, okay. we'll try it.
Yeah. don't please don't. I'm obsessed with saying the initials. Acronyms.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Call it the fancier word if you want. You go A, I go I. Are you going to be...
Yes.
It's not a question. You already know you're going to be on the Benson Interruption number nine.
Mm-hmm.
That's taping in just an hour from now or so.
Soon.
Hour and 20 at the Gramercy Theater. And it'll be available soon in the comedy album section of iTunes or at douglasmovies.com. I can't believe that the Weezer Cruise wasn't an instant sellout when I announced we're going to be taping a Doug Loves Movies on the boat. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to WeezerCruise.com to sign up. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Yes.
To you?
Oh, I've heard about it.
Being on a cruise. Yeah.
You're it's
on
a blast.
On a cruise and there's bands. Dinosaur Jr.
Nice.
Gene Ween. I don't know why it's not all Ween, but Gene Ween is good.
Is that a part of Ween?
Dean and Gene Ween are Ween.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's two guys.
Oh, so half of Ween?
It's brothers. Yeah, I don't know which... I don't know enough about them. I know I like them, but I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I don't know which half is which, but people have written to me on Twitter saying Gene Ween would be good at the Leonard Maltin game, so...
Nice.
Hopefully we can get him. I'd like to get him and Jay Maskus and all the guys from Weezer. You know, the more the merrier, I say.
Do it.
And then I'm going to probably bring along some comedian friend of mine... that I can coerce into doing it. So it should be...
Nice.
Should be fun.
I'll go.
Okay. Nikki Glaser's in, you guys.
I'm in.
I should turn it into, like, a contest or something. That, like,
you should.
If you can prove to me, like, take a picture of your receipt that you bought a ticket, that you're going on the boat, and then tell me which comedian friend of mine
you would like to see on the Douglas movies on the cruise. And then whoever gets the most votes.
I'd be doing the idol thing right now.
Anthony Jeselnik wants to do it, but he's so insulting to everyone else on the panel every time he's on. And it's fun. I think it's hilarious, but I also worry that that's really not a nice thing to do when you're on.
Yeah.
When you're on somebody else's boat.
Right. Don't insult the captain.
Speaking of fun things, that this is one's much less expensive. If you're in the LA area on Wednesday night, come to the Hammer Museum. It's not a, you know, that's the name of the museum, but it's not.
It's old Hammer.
It's not all tools. It's not tool time down at the Hammer Museum. Will Sir Boulevard is where the Hammer Museum is over in Westwood. There's an event there that they do once a month called Open Projector. It's normally hosted by the Sklar Brothers, but essentially it's an evening of the people in the audience bring short films, and then the Sklars would host, but I'm going to do it this Wednesday, and we show 2 minutes of the short that someone has brought, and then the whole audience gets to vote whether or not they want to see the rest of it.
Oh, that's great.
And they could be 10 minutes long at most, and you'll get at least 2 minutes of your thing played, no matter what it is, which that to me sounds like somebody might bring something horrible. Like, I wouldn't even want to see the first 2 minutes of Two Girls, One Cup or whatever.
Right.
I mean, you can't really claim that that's a movie you made. I mean, one guy made it, but I doubt that he lives in LA.
He's not showing his face anytime soon.
Yeah, so you can, it has to be 10 minutes at most, and it can be shot on Super 8, Regular 8, VHS, or not shot on, but you know what I mean. The format you bring it in could be Super 8, Regular 8, VHS,
nice.
DVD, Mini DV, and Mini DHV. Which, by the way, get your shots if you've got mini DHV. Or to prevent it. Submissions start at 7 o'clock, and then the show starts either 7:30 or 8. It's free admission, free popcorn, cash bar. So I think that's going to be cool.
I wish I could go. That sounds really fun.
You're going to be stuck here in New York.
I know.
Having New York fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things to do here.
So fun.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Busy.
But I'll be back when it's warmer. I got in one nice good weekend.
You did. It's beautiful.
Right at the tail end of, because I imagine it's going to be really cold really soon.
Oh, God.
I mean, hopefully you'll have, more Indian summer and it'll stay nice for a few more weeks.
Climate change.
There was a girl who brought goldfish as her name tag to the show in Chicago last weekend at Zany's, and I said something about it on one episode of the podcast and didn't remember the names of the fish. Her name is EMDOUX on Twitter, and the names of the fish were State of Denver, because, you know, as you know, I think Denver's a state. And
oh, that's TJ Miller's thing for being high.
Yeah, he loves it. I'm in the state of Denver. Yeah. And then Elliot was the name of the other fish, and that was the name of the baby that was brought up on stage at the Douglas Movies in Bumbershoot in Seattle.
Nice.
Yeah, so thank God that's cleared up.
Okay, good.
And those fish have new names now because they were just handed to a complete stranger after the show. There was some lady standing there who was like, I'll take them. She probably doesn't know that their names should be State of Denver and Elliot. You, dear listener, this is the part where I talk to the listeners, as opposed to the rest of this, where we're just talking amongst ourselves. You can play the Leonard Maltin game against Graham Elwood at the Comedy Mix in Vancouver on Thursday, October 27th, the Neptune Theater in Seattle, October 28th, the Punchline in Sacramento, October 30th, and sorry, but the Punchline in San Francisco on October 29th is sold out. But you know how much I love San Francisco, and that I will be back pretty soon. Like December 28, 29, or something like that. I'll get you the exact details of that later. What have you seen at the motion pictures or just on your computer or TV lately, Nikki Glaser?
I saw The Lion King in 3D.
Why did you do that?
Because I loved that movie as a kid and I wanted to relive it.
Does it hold up?
It totally does. And it was It was awesome. The 3D I didn't need, you know.
It's unnecessary, right?
Totally unnecessary.
Just looks like a canyon's farther away.
Exactly.
Like the hyenas never jump out at you. Like the Whoopi Goldberg hyena doesn't get in your face.
There's one scene where it kind of like, they're like, you know, they creep up. Yeah, but it does, I think that would have been scary anyway.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think they're totally creepy hyenas.
And then I saw Bucky Larson right after that.
Now that you definitely don't want to see in 3D.
No.
Because you don't want gallons of cum coming your way.
Oh, did you see that?
I have not seen it, but I heard that that's a running gag, is that he's...
Yeah, that
he's fully loaded.
He comes really fast.
But a lot
quickly.
Of it.
And a lot. Yeah. Everywhere. So that is what it's about. I kind of forgot that part of it.
That's a compliment, I think.
Yeah, I had fun. It was good.
Scott Aukerman saw it with Matthew Sweet, and they had a nice time.
It's not a bad time at the movies.
All right, I'll have to check it out on
because you don't.
DVD.
I just went in, but this is the thing. I've walked out of a lot of comedies that people rave about recently, but that one I sat through, and I was able to have a good time. I went in expecting nothing.
You know, the hype can really... I try to only hype up things that I'm pretty confident people will go, thank you for hyping that up.
And yes.
That's pretty rare, because it's... Everybody's just different. Like, everybody loves Drive, everybody I talk to.
Yeah,
I wasn't that into it.
Mm-mm, it's too... I can't see stabbings. I can't watch...
How do you know there's stabbings in Drive? What about the title Drive and the story would make you think there's a lot of stabbing?
Well, everyone's saying it's really violent, and then I got into detail. I just said, tell me what violence. Do we have gun violence? Are there stabbings? And then I heard, oh, there's a lot of stabbing. So
I'm trying to remember what kind of... I know that
like,
there's a really bad someone getting their head blown off.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's pretty shocking when it happens.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. My favorite part of Drive is the violence.
Yeah.
So I really can't recommend it to you.
No, I would not. I don't need to see it.
You would be bored or disgusted.
Well, I'd have to close my eyes the entire time.
Yeah, because that's one thing. Or you'd have to see it with somebody who liked it and is seeing it again.
To tell me when.
Because the most violent thing comes out of nowhere.
That is what I hate. I hate that. But,
you like a nice long build up to the...
I do. I like to really know when it's coming. Well, I just want to be able to close my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I can't... Yeah.
That's
I
what they should
Departed.
Do. They should flash on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, just a picture of someone with their hands over...
Yeah.
Over their eyes.
But then it would let everyone else know, and they don't want to know.
No, yeah. People
Because like you like surprise.
I'm telling you, it woke me up, one of the violent things.
Wow.
And then another violent thing is really... It's really gnarly. But...
I won't be seeing that.
Okay. I'm not going to try to talk you into it.
But
listeners who love it, God bless you.
Everyone loves it.
And I'm not religious, so that sentence really doesn't mean anything. But you know what I mean. I bless you in general, if you like it. Because people love it.
Yeah, they do.
People love the jacket that Ryan Gosling wears.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the excitement is about that.
Yeah, is it like a standout jacket?
It's like a satiny, kind of light-colored, which is weird for a getaway driver.
Uh-huh.
To be like in a flashy, light-colored jacket doesn't make sense to me.
What light-colored, what color?
Like, it's like silverish, kind of.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's got like a, you know, it's all right, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about fashion, but I saw
fashion.
On the plane, they give you, now when they give you a little individual player, if you're lucky enough to be a player, and you're sitting in the, business or first.
Oh, nice.
I screwed up and I missed my flight, so I had to spend a lot of miles on getting a seat in first class.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and they gave me the individual player. But now that they've got that individual thing, they've got R-rated movies uncut.
Oh,
so
nice.
I finally got to see Scream 4.
Oh, wow.
Or Scree 4.
Scree 4.
as it's written on the poster. And didn't like it very much.
Mm, no?
No.
Have you liked the past Screams?
The first one's a classic.
Yes.
But I think they just sort of lucked into how great that one is. And then every sequel's just been so labored. All they do is, it's just so meta. It's just so like...
How do you feel they lucked into the first one? What do you mean by that?
Because Wes Craven's made a bunch of horrible movies. He's not like an absolute expert on how to make scary movies.
Right.
He doesn't even like scary movies. I read somewhere that the... that he also, like,
that's
when,
weird.
When he made the first scary movie he made, it was just sort of like, you know, just to make a movie. I don't think he ever, and just from what I just hear that he's just kind of a, not really a director. I mean, he's a director, he's in charge, but he sounds like he's a really sweet, mellow guy who just sort of lets things happen. So,
yeah.
And the screenplay is by Kevin Williamson, so that's cool. It's the same guy that's been writing all of them, but maybe it needs like some fresh blood, literally.
Uh-huh.
maybe it needs somebody to write one that's like, I don't know. The whole movie's just, they're just, you know, they're talking about this, they call them the stab movies, mm-hmm. in the movie.
Right.
Because you haven't seen that either, right? Because it's really violent.
No, Scream?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, I've seen that.
But
yeah.
I mean, Scream 4 you didn't see.
No. But I've seen 1 through 3.
All of them, that's the one thing about all of them, is if you don't like stabbing.
Yeah, I know.
There's quite a bit of that in there.
I know, but it's never really comes out of nowhere, and that's the part that I don't like. You can kind of see.
There's always a slow, long buildup.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I can kind of cover my eyes and still enjoy myself.
But Scream 4's got, like, you know, a perfectly pleasant cast, you know. What's her name? Courtney Cox is in there doing her Janice Dickinson impression. Crazy lips. But it's...
She does.
But it's just so, after a while, you just don't care anymore. Like, the motivations of the character. Like, every single, even the first Scream, I was like, really? They did all those murders for that reason?
Right.
Like, there's never a good motive.
The
motive is always like, I was lonely, or I'm sad,
what
or
was the motive
people are mean to
yeah.
me. You know,
it's like
either just be crazy or have a good motive.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only doing it for the sake of the fact that we're watching a movie about somebody that has to murder a lot of people. And then also, like, more so than any of the others, Scream 4, there's too many characters that just don't give a shit that all these murders are happening. Like,
yeah.
They're very blasé about it. And then, you know, some of them turn out to be the ones doing it.
Right.
So that's why they were blasé. But other characters were blasé and should not have been. You know,
yeah.
like the murders are happening again. They have a film festival of all the stab movies because they do it every year. Like, why skip this year just because all of our friends are being killed?
Right.
You know?
That's so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the premise of the movie, though.
Yeah.
So I guess you gotta let that go.
It takes place around a film festival.
No, it's just, I mean, it's the premise that every movie has to have somebody decides to put the mask on and start killing again.
Right, right.
So, you know. What are you going to do? I don't like it. But also, I was watching it on a little thing on a plane. But I was just happy to be watching an R-rated movie on a plane, and they weren't cutting anything. Like, I kept looking over at the guy next to me whenever something really violent was happening, going, what if he just glances over and sees somebody getting stabbed in the neck?
That would be my hell.
That seems really...
If I just was to be sitting next to you.
Yeah.
I
think
me.
They... And that's the other thing, is I think that they still don't put movies on there that have a ton of nudity.
Right.
Like, that's another problem with this country. It's like, keep the nudity. You don't want a kid accidentally seeing nudity on the person's
right.
private screen next to them. But if that kid sees scenes from Scream 4,
mm-hmm.
no big deal.
No big deal.
No big deal
seeing
at all.
Seeing someone murdered.
And I saw Ides of March.
Oh.
And I gotta tell you, I've heard mixed things about it. It's not like it's getting all raves, but it's a handful of my absolute favorite actors all in one movie together.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Marissa Tomei, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
God.
They're all... Evan Rachel Wood.
Wow.
They are my favorite actors
mm-hmm.
in the
all
world.
Together.
All of them together.
A super
and
group.
It's boring.
And it's boring.
They're all acting great.
Yeah.
They're all doing a great job of
yeah.
acting it. But I just thought it was boring.
Time magazine face.
And nothing that interesting happens. It's nice to see Ryan Gosling talking again because he doesn't talk much in Drive.
Yeah.
But...
He doesn't talk much? He's just...
He's just like, you know, one of those, I'm so tough and,
oh, that
and
just,
cool
yeah.
that I don't speak very much.
Right.
So that, you know, for me, I didn't really appreciate that. I like him to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, he talks quite a bit. But let me tell you, Nikki, that, like, it's supposed to be about political intrigue. And Paul Giamatti plays the guy that's in charge of the other guy's campaign, the guy that George Clooney is running against
mm-hmm.
for president. And Paul Giamatti calls up Ryan. This is a big turning point in the story. Is he calls up Ryan Gosling, who's the number two behind Seymour Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman, working for George Clooney's character.
Okay.
He calls him up and goes, I really need to talk to you. And Ryan Gosling's like, that's inappropriate. You work for another campaign. Why? What do you need to talk to me about? He's like, I really need to talk to you. Just meet with me. I really want to talk to you. And he's like, I don't know. That doesn't sound right. You know, what is it you want to talk about? Like, it's that sort of thing where eventually he gets Ryan Gosling to come to this bar.
Okay.
Then he says, leave the guy you're working for and work for me and my guy.
Uh-huh.
And Ryan Gosling's like, what?
Yeah.
No.
Of course not.
And then he tells Philip Seymour Hoffman, hey, this guy called me. I talked to him. Not going to work for them. He tried to get me. But then everything starts to go to hell from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what did he do wrong? And why would Paul Giamatti, why would the campaign manager of the other campaign be calling you up and trying to drag, you know, and it's so...
Is he crazy? Is his character, like, make bad decisions?
I don't want to give away too much, but I'm just saying that things spin out of control from there, and the whole time you're like...
Because they would.
You're like, what did Ryan Gosling really do wrong here? You know?
Yeah, and nothing, because he...
Yeah, and then people start trying to get revenge on each other because that happened. Because one guy went and talked to another guy, turned him down.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like...
It's just weird. Let me know if you disagree. I mean, I don't need to tell people to let me know.
They will.
I heard a lot on Twitter about how wrong I am about Drive. But before we play Build the Title, I just want to quickly say that I just want to do a quick episode of Doug Loves Broadway.
Okay.
Because as you know, we talked about this
already.
We already talked this a little bit about this. I saw Godspell. It's in previews, so if I didn't like it, I wouldn't have said... you know, my opinion about it. I wouldn't have come out and said, oh, this sucks, because it's in previews. And that's not fair when it's not open yet. But since I loved it, I'm going to say that I'm not religious at all. I think I've already mentioned that once.
Mm-hmm.
And I still loved it. I went into it. People were telling me, yeah, check out Godspell. Like, they're recommending it. And I was like, you know, because I've seen Jesus Christ Superstar live and was bored out of my mind.
Right.
Like a couple good songs, and that's it. And when I saw it, Sebastian Bach was in it, so that was pretty sweet.
What about, like, Joseph and the Amazing?
I've never seen that.
Okay.
But from what I've heard of the music, it's got a couple of pleasant songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I thought Godspell was. But that's because I was relying on, you know, maybe having seen the movie a long time ago and just sort of hearing that song day by day sung by... religious types.
Right.
You know, like Kumbaya or whatever. But I really, really loved it. It's if I have to see a crucifixion or care about a crucifixion, I would rather it be a singing, dancing version rather than Mel Gibson's version. You've never seen Passion of the Christ.
No, I can't. That no way.
Terrible
nails
for you.
Hands?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's no nails in the crucifixion scene in Godspell, and also, spoiler alert.
There's no nails?
Yeah, but the spoiler is the saying that there's a crucifixion in the musical about Jesus. But it's modern dress, and they use lots of modern references, and it's just. But the staging, the direction is really inventive, and I enjoyed it so much that I went back and saw it again the next day instead of taking a chance on something else.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's the mark of a.
I'll probably be talking about that to the point of. Irritating everybody because I want it to be a big hit. I met some of the people in the cast. They were super nice. So check it out. Now let's play Build the Title.
Let's do it.
And just to stay on theme, let's do it with the original movie version of Godspell.
Okay.
So you have to go first and you have to come up with a movie that ends in the word God or begins with the word spell. Or as part of the sound of the word spell. If you're really
spelling
tricky.
Spelling Bee. Is there a Spelling Bee movie?
There should be, but I don't think there is. Oh,
what is it called?
Oh, there's a documentary about Spelling Bees.
Yes, that's what I mean. Spellbound. Yeah.
Nicely done. I didn't even pre-guess that one.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you might have to go Godspell Mariachi.
I don't know what that is.
El Mariachi.
El Mariachi. Okay, I like just using the less sound.
But Godspell Bound, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I can't, there was a movie called Bound, but that doesn't count. I can't add that. With Gina Gershon and
Jennifer Tilly and Joe Pantoliano. Did you ever see that?
No,
the Wachowski brothers directed it.
I don't like seeing
it. You don't like lesbians?
I don't know if they tie each other up that much in it, but it's really good.
Just because they're bound to each other, kind of thing. But it's kind of a noir, kind of double crossy kind of movie with some violence for sure. But I don't think there's any stabbings.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. But I don't think
Spellbound.
Boundary, bounding, boundaries. Yeah, I don't. Boundling. That movie, The Boundling, about the dog that was tied up.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a stopper on that end, I can go the other direction because I can go
Bound for Greatness. That's got to be a movie.
Oh, you shouldn't try to help me. It's my turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Doug.
Don't apologize.
I felt like when I listened to you and Graham do it, it was like a team effort.
Well, we do kind of get that way sometimes, just
when
because
you get real stumped.
When you're stumped, because we're not not playing for anything.
Exactly.
But we are.
But
God Spellbound for Glory.
is that a movie?
Bound for Glory, yeah.
Oh.
It's a real movie. 70s, I think.
Good. And I can't do just Glory.
No, see, that's tough, but
Gloria. Is that a movie?
Yeah,
I thought so.
That's ridiculous. Gloria was, it was Jenna Rollins the first time, I believe directed by her husband, John Cassavetes, I think. I know he directed a lot of that stuff with her. And then,
I don't know any of these.
Then the remake was with Sharon Stone.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Which I don't know why they have to call it Gloria. Like, why not just give it another name, then in the title say, based on the movie Gloria. Like, I hate these remakes where they call it the same thing. Like, they think, oh, people will just run out to see the same thing again.
Yeah.
That they didn't even see the first time in that case. Or that everybody
saw. So just
saw,
name it what you want. Rename it. You have another try.
Yeah, or like everybody saw in the case of Footloose. Why can't they do a movie based on Footloose and give it a more modern name and not have it be about parents refusing to let kids dance.
Yeah, it just doesn't hold up now. That.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's exactly what they should have done.
Okay, so you know Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jojovich? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Mm-hmm.
They've got the movie out this weekend, Three Musketeers.
Oh, right.
Four
yes.
Musketeers.
Yes.
It's all four. They didn't even do three first. They just went straight to four.
Yeah, right.
I was trying to think earlier today of a way to say that I wanted to make an insult on them, and now I've come up with it, and it goes like this.
Okay.
Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jojovich are the John Cassavetes and Jenna Rollins of movies I don't want to see. All right. That was a sidebar. Okay. Bound for Glory. That's a hard noise to start something off with.
Yeah.
Young. Young something. Young Dracula. Was that the movie with Lipnicki? Was that called? No, it was Little Dracula. Young. There's tons of movies that start with young. Young at Heart. Let's go with Young at Heart.
That's good.
Even though I don't have time to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's
God Spellbound for Glory.
Glory Young at Heart.
Young at Heart. Glory Young at Heart. Heart.
I've already got a heart.
Heart.
But you can also end in God.
Yes.
Don't forget about that. This is an exciting one. We're going into overtime.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was my pre-guess.
Okay.
And then I pre-guess, like, you know, a couple to make sure that it's possible to expand out. So the other one I came up with was there was a movie called The O in Ohio. So now we've got
Ooh.
O in Ohio, God, Spellbound for Glory, Young at Heart. So now you need to start with heart, or you're back in the same boat. You have to end in O.
Oh.
I don't know. You know what? Oh, the weed's here.
Weed's here. We just got here.
Fast. We're taping a podcast.
Hey, we're taping.
You're in the middle of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, guys. No,
we're
good.
Almost done.
You're
just
good.
Just hang out for a second.
No problem.
Okay, to recap, we're at O in Ohio, God, okay. Spellbound for glory, young at heart. But I just figured out a way you can use the O.
Like Domino?
Yeah, would be...
Is Domino a movie?
That is a movie.
Yes!
That was with Keira Knightley and directed by...
Oh, yeah.
Tony Scott, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not one of his better efforts, but I like a lot of his Domino. Stuff. Domino in Ohio, God... Spellbound for glory, young at heart. I'm sorry there's no other chairs in here. You can sit on the bed if you want. All right. Yeah, so it's me, and I'm going to go with Heart of Dixie?
Mm.
Oh, that's Hearts of Dixie, I think was what that was called with, I believe it was...
Hearts.
Ally Sheedy.
Still works, yeah.
I think Ally Sheedy was in that.
Hearts of Dixie.
Yeah.
Dixie. That's
yeah.
Hard to say.
Dixie. C. If I'm wrong about that one, we'll have Matt Belknap do a correction.
C.
In post. Dixie. So there's
C.
E. You got the E sound at the end of
or
Dixie.
Or Dom.
E.
Or Domino.
Was there a movie called E Pluribus Unum? Or Dom. Something Dom.
Free Dom.
Ooh, Freedom Riders doesn't work, but...
No, it doesn't.
But there's got to be something that ends in freedom. For the love of freedom.
Even if it doesn't sound like
give,
it, because
give
dom
me freedom.
And dumb.
Yeah, that's just how you...
It's spelled right.
Domino. Yeah, I guess it should be dom. So that's going to be hard.
Freedom. That's how I say it.
Freedom. That's how I say it. That's how it's pronounced where I come from.
Come from. I'm going to go with C. So C...
Is there E-Trade the movie?
C.
Oh, Dick C. I like
Dick
that.
C.
I got one already.
C. See you next Tuesday. No.
No.
See you. See me. See us. See Spot Run. Is there like some movie?
No. I bet you. I bet you they made a movie called
Sea
like Spot
a,
Run.
A kids movie.
Yeah.
See, no, but we gotta see you in St. Louis. I don't know.
That's
I know it's
meet me in St. Louis.
it's the updated version.
Yeah.
See you in St. Louis.
All right, I got one. So
okay,
I'll just,
what is
I'll
it?
Just throw
yeah,
mine
do
in
it.
There. Hearts of Dick Sea of Love.
C O S E A.
Yeah. Oh, you were going SEE, of course.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Domino in Ohio, God spellbound for glory, young at hearts of Dixie of love. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you could throw a comma actually on the end just for fun.
Actually.
And then we're back to that E sound again.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to go. We got to go do a show, but...
Yeah.
That was a good one. Domino in Ohio, God spellbound.
That was a good
spell oh, bound for glory, young at hearts of Dixie. Sea of love. Dixie of love. Actually.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, so no time for my other Broadway pick, which was West Side Story.
Oh, love.
You got any plugs, Nikki Glaser?
Yeah, when is this going up?
Soonish.
Okay, I'm going to be in Bloomington, Indiana.
Love it.
Weekend before Halloween.
Comedy Attic.
Comedy Attic. And then the next weekend I'm going to be in Mason City Limits in the smallest town I've ever been to in Illinois. Mason City, Illinois.
And the bar or club's called Mason City Limits?
Yes, Mason City Limits.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought of a good slogan for Comedy Attic.
Ooh, what is it?
Comedy Attic for comedy addicts.
Oh my God, Jared's
yeah,
gonna love
Jared's
it.
Jared's gonna shit himself.
Oh.
The next Doug Benson Interruption, I don't know why I called it that, it's just called the Benson Interruption. The podcast version is gonna be in LA at Meltdown Comics, also known as Nerd Melt, on Thursday, November 10th. And Graham Elwood and I will be at the Orpheum Theater in Flagstaff, Arizona, November 12th, and Stand Up Live in Phoenix on Sunday, October 13th. And as all, thank you, Nikki Glaser.
Thank you, Doug Benson. And my podcast.
Oh, yes.
You
had to be
there.
But you don't have to be there. You just have to listen.
You just have to listen, and you'll feel like you're there.
And as always, the Ides of March is a shithead. It's the best I could come up with.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie.
eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves